Thank you, Lord. What a great day in the Lord, I tell you. If you're saved and you know that, and it's not just some little religious thing that you did or a couple of words that you said, but it's a real relationship that you have with the Lord Jesus Christ, you can really have a great day today. Mm-hmm. And I thank the Lord for that. I want to just take a minute, just a quiet reflection. I want every heart in here to hear His message, every heart that's listening. Father, may we just come before You, put away the cares of the world, set our affection on things above, and just sit and bask in Your presence, Lord. Teach us today. Open our hearts to Your truth. We ask You that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Today we're going to talk a little bit about doubting and just to understand a little bit about that so we could be firm in the Lord Jesus Christ. Earlier in our worship today and with some of the things that were shared, and the cry before the Lord to have mercy on our errors, our mercy on our misunderstandings, I just am so blessed because together we have a common thing here in our little body. We are all a mess. Anybody ever notice that? Don't point a finger at anybody else. Your problems, your challenges, your trials are different than others in detail, but not different in the same thing that everyone goes through. We're born with a broken Adam nature. The fight goes on every single day to get that Adam nature not ruling. You have to crucify the flesh. That's what God says. You don't even have to practice being holy because you can't be holy. Your Adam nature is unholy. What you have to do is crucify the flesh, and those of you who have Jesus Christ inside, that nature of God's going to come out. You're never going to be blank. But we need to practice this. Wednesday we talked about and shared, I shared, you are what you practice. So I want to give us a little information here, a little something more, another little tidbit. We are going to be accosted sometimes by doubts. But I don't want us to brush it under the rug. I don't want us to throw it off on the side. I want us to understand the importance of this. And I guess the title you could say today would be, You Never Doubt, huh? Well, I doubt that. Oh, no, I'm solid in the Lord. I never doubt. I want us to look at a couple of things. And a little bit of background on a couple of things here. Sometimes we do doubt. Even if you love the Lord with all your heart, for many years I've counseled with many people who say, I just sinned, I must not be saved. No, what a lie. Mm-hmm. That comes against every single thing that God says, and we'll get into that in just a little bit. Jeremiah. I mean, couldn't you question Jeremiah? I mean, he was a prophet of God, for crying out loud. He had a whole life where he served God, where he obeyed God, where he was powerfully blessing God, leading the people to love God. And what did he say in Lamentations? I love the name of it, Lamentations. That's kind of our lives sometimes. Lamentations 5:20. He said, this is Jeremiah saying to God, why do you forget us forever? Why do you forsake us for so long? Now, someone who's standing firm in the Lord ain't going to be crying out that. You see, there was a little bit of doubt. Where are you, God? It's dark. We're in a misery. And it was about 586 B.C., before Jesus even came, that all this stuff was going on. And Babylonia had just taken over Jerusalem. And here's this wonderful city of God, and it, you know, full of sin and junk like that and all sorts of stuff going on. People had come in and invaded. A heathen enemy came in and was ruling them. And Jeremiah cries out and he says, where are you, God? Where are you? Things were a real mess. You know, and sometimes that happens in our lives. Sometimes that happens in our lives. Things are a mess. And doubting, it is a problem. But what we have to understand, it isn't just a little simple thing. God calls it sin. Because what you're doing when you're doubting, God has spoken. God tells us something. And then the Adam nature rises itself up and says, I don't know if that's really true. I don't know if God really wants me to go that far. God really doesn't want me to forgive someone who really hurt me. Wait a minute. I don't know if God's going to provide for me.
Whoa.
Now, I don't know the details. God doesn't give me the plan. He doesn't sit down with little private nobody here, and he's the general of all generals. He doesn't give me the big plan. I just have an order, hear it again, and then I have to obey it. And we have a ton of people in here that are in, we're in the military and are veterans and understand the idea of the hierarchy that goes on in terms of service, that what you go through. My gosh, the private cannot be in the presence of the general. But we can be in the presence of God. I mean, have we lost this? It's in his presence you're going to be strong. It's in his presence you're going to believe. It's in his presence you're going to have this confidence in him. So when you don't have the confidence in him, you need to have a light go off and say, I must not be in his presence. There must be some sort of sin here. Prayer and praise draws you and calls the presence of God to you and you to the presence of God. So we have to be very, very careful. And there's three things I want to concentrate on today. There are occasions of doubt. There are occasions of doubt. There's sources of doubt, but there's a cure for that doubt. And by being aware of occasions and sources of doubt, that should have our little signals go off again. Careful now, careful. Doubt is sin if this is an occasion for sin. And if you're in it, you want to know how to get out of it. I mean, I just heard in the news that somebody with Ebola, I mean, this is a virus. It's not like having a cold. Like 90% or something of the people die the minute you get Ebola. That's worse than saying cancer. And now there's a couple of people that were probably volunteering, precious doctors and a nurse that were working with the people in Africa with Ebola, and now they're back here. God forbid that should spread around here. Golly, I heard of all this stuff. So you hear something like that, you go, oh my gosh, where are you, God? What if you got Ebola? Yeah, and something you don't know about it because it starts out like the little symptoms of a cold or something like that. By the time you realize you got it, you're dead. Well, most people, if you really love the Lord, you're going to go, going home soon, going home soon. But I tell you, fear's going to come in. There's going to be doubt. There's all sorts of things that are going on. But the point I'm making is that if you had Ebola, which they say there's no cure for, and somebody says, I have a cure for Ebola, wouldn't you want it? So when God says, I have a cure for doubt, wouldn't you want it? Mm-hmm. Let's find out what he says in terms of a cure about doubt. And there are occasions of doubt. And I want you to think about that. We do doubt our salvation sometimes. I thank God I've never doubted my salvation. I thank God I never have. Other people are accosted with that. But guess what I have doubted? The thoughts have come. Well, is this really real? Is God really real? Is this, you know, or do I just die and go into the ground? I mean, these are thoughts that come to your head. They actually are doubts. Guess where they're coming from? It's not God. So don't be frightened when you have these thoughts or these feelings that come to you that aren't of God. It is part of the battle. It is part of the plan for the adversary to trip you up. What you need to do is be aware that you just had an arrow zinged in your head or your heart. You need to understand that you're wounded and you need to go to the Lord and get that stuff taken care of.
Amen.
Especially you start doubting your salvation after you sin. That happens to so many of us. Oh, how can I be saved and yet I sin? God says, wait a minute, I'm telling you something. I have forgiven you of your sins. It's not an excuse for you to sin, but all of your sins have been forgiven. They are as far as the east is from the west. I've thrown them into the sea of forgetfulness. You keep going before God. Oh, God, I can't believe it. I sinned again or whatever. He's going, what are you talking about? What's in? I don't even see it. I don't know it.
Amen.
The blood of Jesus Christ is on us. We wear his robes of righteousness.
Thank
your
God.
Your wonder before God has nothing to do with stinking you. It all has to do with the Lord. It all has to do with Jesus and what he did. Not you going to church. Not you doing good works. Good doesn't get you into heaven.
Amen.
Clean gets you into heaven. You are made clean only through the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And the adversary doesn't want you to know it. And once you do know it, he wants you to doubt it. Don't let him. Don't let him. This is a fight. We doubt God when there's sickness. When you got economic problems, when you got some sort of, it's so wrong, some injustice. Listen, the Adam nature is just full of injustice. When you have prejudice against you, when you have injustice against you, when this thing stinks, it's unfair, it's wrong, doesn't work out in court for you. All of this is part of the junk. It's not part of heaven. It's not part of God. It's not part of Jesus. So what are you going to do with it? Are you going to let it be used against you? Oh, there is no God. How can there be a God when your baby died? How can there be a God when you lost your job? How can there be a God when you're suffering? Well, there is a God. And he's saying, my children, come to me. Where you are is a cursed planet because of what Adam did. What your body is with its death and its diseases is death came upon, just like I said would happen. God is a just God. You don't get away with junk. But God is merciful and loving. My crippled little children, crippled by what Adam did, made whole by what Jesus did, go to Jesus. And then continue the walk. And it's not a walk in the park, if anyone has noticed. Some of you have a copy of my first book, The Climb. If you don't, some copies still available online. Go get it. It talks about the difficulty of the Christian existence. This, oh, just come to Jesus, everything's going to be fine. Well, everything's going to be fine for eternity, but you got to get through this crap first. Jeez, the hardest thing in the world is going to start happening to you, because God's going to put you in the fire at the crucible to get the gold out and to get the dross removed. He's going to pierce you. Why would he do less to you than he did his son? He's going to pierce you. You are going to bleed, and he's going to get the junk out of you. He's going to put him in if you let him. So we do. We doubt God with these things. And I just want us to understand that these occasions of doubt, one of the things that I want you to see is that all doubt, we don't like to admit this now, all doubt can be traced to unbelief in God's word. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And what's the first thing we cry out when things go wrong? God, where are you? Because I'm nowhere. I'm right here. I'm where I've always been. What's the old saying? If you don't feel close to God, guess who moved? We go out into that darkness. We go into our own thoughts. We go into our own actions. We go into everything. We use a broken thinker, a broken wanter, and a broken feeler, and wonder why the end result is broken. Hello! We at some point have to stop. Break the cycle of sin. And it's only done by coming to the Lord and saying, I want you not only in me, I give you permission to rule. Everybody wants a Savior because they don't want their butt in hell. But very few want a Master and Lord that you actually have to obey. God is wise. He doesn't have a bunch of rules. He's not some sort of stupid prude up there not wanting you to have fun. His directions are to give you a good and a clean life. Integrity first, sexual purity, sobriety, service before self, excellence in all you do. These are principles of a living God to make a good life. And when things go bad, and they will, because you're still on the cursed planet in a cursed body, you could be so flippin' holy that you walk on water, but guess what? Someone may sin against you and hurt you. They may break into your house. They may steal your vehicle. They may beat up your kid. You're still here. It's what you do in response to what happens here that makes the difference. You let God's holiness rule, and you are not going to be full of doubt. And that holiness and that light is going to be used to call someone else. Whoa. Now, you can't be stupid. You don't have to invite, God's not saying you have to invite every dark soul into your home. They'll come in, they'll steal everything when you're at work. Then you go, what happened? Be led by God's Spirit, but he very often is going to have you working with some of the dredges of the earth. Boy, I tell you, he knows what he's talking about. The first step And conquering this doubt is to realize its sin and confess it before God. Okay. We've admitted that your doubt is sin. I think everyone understands at this point, doubt is sin. We can't dress this pig up any other way. We can't rename it, although some will try. We can't give it excuse. Doubting God is sin. The best way to overcome that is to know where the doubt comes from. These are the things that we want to do. So what we have is one of the sources of doubt is questioning what God has said. Now be careful when your broken thinker starts kicking in gear. Eve did it. I mean, Eve questioned God. Well, what do you mean by that? You know, the adversary came and Eve told the adversary back in the garden what God had said. Oh, God said we can't eat of this. What happened? A little seed of doubt came in when that old devil said, oh, no, that's not what he means. Because when you eat of this, you will be like him. So, oh, wow, that would be a good idea. Eve truly with all her heart wanted to be like God. But she and Adam, don't think Adam was down 7-Eleven, sweetheart. When all this was happening, he was standing right beside her. So he ain't some poor slob that Eve fooled or something. The command was given to Adam. He's standing right there while all this foolishness is going on. His head was doing the same thing. Otherwise, he wouldn't have eaten. See, God gave a reason not to do that. He had to give them something to obey. Because the only way to show God you love him is to obey him. Mm-hmm. But that doubt started right off now, didn't it? Well, maybe if I just did this, I could be like him. That would make God happy. But you forgot the point. If God says not to touch it, you don't touch it. If God says not to do it, you don't do it. And if God says to do it, you should do it. Now, this isn't a miserable life as a Christian here, folks. This is a wonderful, glorious, happy life. It's just that it includes other things that very often don't include just your flesh. You should be so busy doing the do's, you don't have time for the don'ts. And God's Spirit will always lead you to the do's. Now, so don't think like you're the only one that doubts. Job, he was encouraged to curse God. That's what his encouragement was. So start doubting God. Curse God. This is all miserable because something bad's going on. Whoa. Thomas, he didn't even believe Jesus rose from the dead. I mean, if anyone really was a doubter, that was that guy. I mean, he was right there. He saw Jesus. Boom. Blind eyes. Dead raised up. Jesus told him, I'm going to be killed and I'll come back. In 3 days, I will rise from the dead. Thomas goes, oh, well, no, he's dead. He's gone. Boom, boom, boom. Now, you may think that God has left you. That is a source of doubt. I feel so empty. I don't feel his presence anymore. If that ain't the devil playing with your head, I don't know what else is. The minute you have those kind of thoughts and feelings, you got to run to the Lord. Absolutely powerful. Now, another system, another portion of a source of doubt is the world system. It is full of everything that isn't God. It's enmity to God. It has its own values and objectives, etc. And I'm not going to read it now, but you can go to Ephesians 4. 18 to 19, it talks about that. This is worldly wisdom that's out there. And worldly wisdom always includes sin. I'm not talking about common sense now. Don't ever let faith throw away common sense. You stand out there in the rain. Don't pray for it to stop. You know, get an umbrella. Come on. I'm talking about the worldly wisdom. Oh, it's okay to lie a little bit on your income tax because the government has more money than you do. Well, they don't have any more money than we do. I just realized they're in debt by $17 trillion. So it's a joke that they have more money than we do. But whatever. You see, the worldly wisdom is, don't forgive him. Look what he's done. He walked out on you and the kids. Whoa. See, worldly wisdom says, get back at him. Slash his tires. You see, worldly wisdom will always introduce sin because worldly wisdom comes from a broken thinker. And we don't want that. So you need to understand anytime that that's going on. Now, so also, your own spiritual immaturity is a fertile field for the adversary to throw some doubts in there. So be careful. Don't have double-mindedness. Read James 1:8 on that. Don't be double-minded. Be single-minded toward the Lord. And then in Ephesians 4:14, he calls them babies, little children in the faith. And sometimes that can be taken advantage of, you know, with children. Some of these god-awful, horrible people out there are doing bad things to children. They're deceiving the children because the little children don't know. They're saying, hey, I lost my puppy. Will you come help me find my puppy? And then they kidnap them someplace and do devastating things. You know, because they're children. They're taking advantage of their immaturity. The devil was going to take advantage of your immaturity. You got to be so pressed in with prayer, so pressed in with the scripture, so pressed in with praise. That is going to be some of the hedge and the fence that surrounds you. God talks about songs of deliverance. All this stuff starts having meaning. Very, very powerful. So that's one of the sources of doubt is your own spiritual immaturity. Now, one of the ways what we're talking about conquering this doubt, you have to be growing in obedience to God's word. You can't grow in obedience to God's word unless you are in God's word. And if you're waiting and going to go through the whole scripture just by getting a little tidbit or two on a Sunday, and maybe some of you who do it twice a week and come on a Wednesday, for those of you who can, do you think that's going to fill you? Can you imagine eating one meal on Sunday and one meal on Wednesday physically? How much strength are you going to have to work and go ahead and do? You are going to be sick and weak and open to every single disease out there if you don't, or if you're not eating the Word of God. That's why he said, eat of me, when he was talking at the Last Supper there. He wasn't talking about just doing some ceremonial thing. He was talking about eat of me, get me inside, not just information in your head, transformation in your heart. So this obedience to God's word, this is your responsibility, and I am not coming to your house, and Pastor Mark, and Pastor Ted, and future Pastor Drew, we are not coming to your house to do a check mark to find out if you're reading the Bible. That's between you and God. The more that you do, the more you're going to grow, and the more you're going to be protected. On your own, you and God in that book.
Amen.
Asking him for understanding. Because I tell you, cockamamie broken thinker's going to get in there and come up with all these off-the-wall ideas of what God means. You're going to be coming up with all sorts of rules and regulations that God never intended for you to have. It's for freedom that I set you free. Not free-for-all. Freedom that I set you free. And part of that freedom is freedom from these doubts. Now, Allah, let's move on to the cure for these doubts. We had occasions, we had sources of doubt, we talked about those things. The problem is not what you're doubting. The problem is in the one doubting. So that's where we have to back this up to me. Not, oh, you made me doubt. This is nothing outside of you. This is you and God. And be very careful, because doubting is sin, which means it breaks you down in other areas. It's like getting a little cold, then that opens you up to other things. When you're very, like you, sometimes we do this. Moms, those in ministry, those that are out in service connected things, in the medical field, things like that. You're driven. You go. And sometimes, have you noticed, you get a little worn down. And when you're worn down, you're a little bit more open to some of those sicknesses. That devil is out to do the same thing spiritually. He wants to wear you down. And the only way to do that is to be strong in the Lord. And in 1 Kings 18:21, it says, and Elijah came near to all the people and he said, how long are you going to hesitate between two opinions? Because there was the heathen world, and then there's the world that God's talking about. Him being the one and only Lord. And for those of us that are born in this particular time frame, we came after Jesus. So when you find God today, you're going to find Jesus. When you found God earlier, before Jesus, you either found the patriarchs or the kings or the judges or Moses and the law. But we're born after Jesus. So when you seek God, you're going to find God. When you find God, you're going to find Jesus. It's so, so powerful. So Elijah said, how long? Same question. Are you going to listen to the world? Are you going to listen to the thousands of things that are out there? There's one God, there's many gods, there's no God. What are you going to listen to? When are you going to decide? And he was saying the same thing back then. How long will you hesitate between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if it's Baal or any other foolishness man comes up with, follow him. And what did the people do? Answered him not a word. Well. The only way for you to conquer doubt is that you have to decide. And when you decide, this is what you're going to do. One, you're going to confess the doubt that you have in whatever regard. You're going to confess it to God. You're going to confess it as sin. And there are a couple of scriptures there. Romans 14:23 says, whatever is not from faith, whatever is not from your stronghold standing on God, it's sin. And in Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it's impossible to please him. He didn't say without religious denomination. He didn't say without religion. He said without faith. Faith is binding to Jesus Christ. That word, I wish it wasn't from, you know, faith as a belief system. Faith, pistio, all those words back there in the Greek, it means binding. You're bound to Jesus Christ. That's a big difference than just saying, Jesus is Lord. How many times have we heard that? You can pick up a drunk by the hair, raise his head up and say, Jesus is Lord. And he can go, Jesus is Lord. Put his head down. Don't mean a thing. You're either saying it or you're living it. And only you and God are going to be able to decipher that. Another thing that you can do in terms of a cure for doubt, review the evidence of what God has said. Go back. I mean, Jesus raised from the dead. It's not just in the Bible that was written. There's historical evidence. These things were written in history. People are not denying that. But some say, well, no, he didn't really rise from the dead. They stole his body, etc., etc. These things were recorded that he was gone. And it was recorded by other than in the scripture. There were many healings. There's historical records that mirror, like I just said, that mirror what the Bible says. And there's another thing you can do in terms of a cure for doubt. You can examine yourself and know that you're saved. In 2 Corinthians 13:5, test your faith. Know that he's in you. And in Hebrews 6:1-9, a whole long section. I'm not going to do this. You can look that up a little later. If you can't write these down fast enough, because I kind of talk a little fast here, get with me later on. I'll be glad to go over that. Hebrews 6:1-9. Be mature, leaving the dead works behind. And some say, well, I don't know if I'm saved. I want to. In Ephesians, there's something so powerful in Ephesians. Ephesians 1, the very first chapter. Ephesians 1, verse 13. And it says, in him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and having also believed it, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, given as a pledge for your inheritance. If you start doubting whether you're saved, you need to start getting back into the Word and say, God says he sealed you. When you gave your heart over, just like he put you in a Ziploc bag and zipped it up. The cleanliness that is perfect, white as snow, not a spot or a wrinkle, has nothing to do with your good works and church attendance, although that's important and should be part of your life. That cleanliness that you have is because of what Jesus Christ did. In that moment you come to him, you are cleansed, and then you are sealed with the Spirit of promise. Not a promise like your neighbor or your husband or your kids or your co-worker. A promise of God. You're sealed. Now, will you fall into sin and foolishness? In all likelihood, yes. Will someone bump up against you and you bump up against them? Those are little mud specks, but what are they on? They're on the plastic bag in which you are sealed. And it calls a washing of the water of the Word. You sit down, you read the scripture, some of that mud starts washing away. Not your sins, the fogginess, the dirt that's in your way of seeing the right way to walk.
Amen.
Whoa. So when you die, God, our Father, opens up that bag, even if there's some dirt still on the outside of it, and he pulls you out and you're clean and white as snow because of what Jesus did, not because of what you did. You should fall on your face every day and thank him for salvation, because you are going to get into the kingdom of God. But Paul clarifies it, because our stupid thinking, stinking thinking gets in the way and goes, oh, Jesus, forgive me for everything. I can go out and do anything now. If you have that in your heart and mind, I guarantee that you in all likelihood are not saved. If you're thinking you're going to have joy in going out to sin because you're saved, that ain't God inside. You need to have a little talk with Jesus. So, so powerful. Another one is to faithfully study the Word of God. Give attention to the public reading of Scriptures and that the Scripture is inspired by God. You can read that in 1 Timothy 4:13 and in 2 Timothy 3:16. Pray. Fifth cure for doubt. We got all five in here. Pray. And pray isn't just some measly little asking based on your head. It's getting clean before the living God and asking the Spirit of God to come through you. Pray that you won't enter into temptation. And pray without ceasing. All of these scriptures, be devoted to prayer. Wow. And look what Jesus said. He asked them in Luke 24, verse 38, 49. Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? I am sending forth the promise of my Father. That is salvation in Jesus Christ. That is a way through this earth. That is provision for His children. That is wisdom for those that ask for it. He showers mercy. He showers compassion. He wants you to thrive. He wants you to love rightly and properly. He wants you with the correct partners for your lifetime. He wants the right rightness in parenting. He wants the right moms and the right dads. He wants the right people running businesses. He wants the right people in the government. Those are not full of lies and corruption and garbage. And you look at any country, you're going to find it rife in all of their leadership. Whoa. See, God wants good. But if we use the Adam nature, we're going to end up keep getting what we have been getting. But the promises of God are deep and they are rich and they are yours. So we can, with a confidence, doubt no more because Jesus is Lord. God bless you.